Attributes of God. Psalm 115, verse 3 says that God does all that He pleases. God is sovereign over His whole creation. He has the right and the power to govern all things according to His will. Nothing occurs in your life that God, in His sovereignty, has not allowed. He is working all things for His glory and the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Saving so much money, you're going bankrupt. This is Wretched Radio. So Mrs. Hicks likes to save money, does she?
Oh, you have no clue.
So when she finds a deal, she buys it.
Three or four times over.
Yeah, that's it. Our joke. Our joke is, okay, we don't do three or four times over. But when we maybe buy something that we probably, didn't need, but it was such a good deal, one of us will joke, it's almost like we're making money here.
Yeah.
No, you're not. You have to spend to save. Just the same, Mrs. Hicks, she likes, this isn't becoming a hoarding problem, is it?
It's
knocking on the door.
It is. It hasn't left the one particular room yet, but I legitimately joke that it's our store. Like, I'm going to go down and get some more deodorant. I got to go to the store. Anybody want anything?
Okay, so give me, how many deodorants do you have down there?
500.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Probably not 500, but probably 250.
You're joking.
And I'm not joking. And I tell her, you need to stop with the deodorant and the toothpaste.
Jimmy, hold on. I just have to defend Mrs. Hicks here. I'm sorry. Maybe you stink and have bad breath.
Well, I don't disagree with that. But at some point, you're like, don't you think we have enough? And her answer is, well, when I get it for free, why not?
Well, how does she get it for free? I want to know this trick.
She will teach you. She needs to start a course. It's the couponing thing. I don't know, man. I don't understand how it works.
She's one of the. See, I've seen those videos.
Yep.
There is something to that.
Yep, it is.
Where you can you walk out with bags of stuff for like $4 or something.
That's what she does.
Wow.
That's right.
She should start a YouTube channel.
She should, but
she could be an influencer.
She just follows everyone else who does, and that's where she finds her deals.
And she's been applying it.
Yep, she does.
Alrighty. So, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'd like to help you out.
How are you going to do that?
We could unload some of that deodorant and toothpaste.
Oh, well, we could. I told her we're going to get so much, we're going to have to find people that need it.
We'll take it. Have you seen the price of that stuff? It's ridiculous. Not only that, I'm so glad you brought up toothpaste. I think it's Colgate from Costco. So we'll buy, of course it's Costco. So naturally you get five tubes at a time, right? I'm telling you, they're watering down the toothpaste. It's shrinkflation. They either shrink the size, which they do all the time. It's like this jar of jam. I know it used to be bigger than this. The price is up and the size is down. Well, I don't know about the tube size for Colgate. I think that's probably shrunk too. But it's also just the texture of it. It's more watery. And I know this is empirical. Mrs. Friel and I, the last few days, because we just got the toothpaste that we started using from Costco. And I said to Mrs. Friel, I said, I need to brush my teeth again. And I'd just done it like 2 hours ago, hadn't eaten anything. And she said, well, that's weird. I feel the same way. And so we started tracking it. I'm telling you, they're watering down the toothpaste. So if you got good stuff over there in the Hicks store, we'll be happy to take some of that off your hands.
We do.
Yeah, what kind do you got? Anything?
Everything.
Yeah.
All I use is Colgate, so we've got plenty of that.
Yeah, well, just have you been feeling the need lately to brush your teeth more often?
If I'm going to ever use it all before it expires.
I don't think that stuff there's a disagreement Mrs. Friel and I have. Expiration dates. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in them.
You don't?
Food, yes. That it's like at a certain point. But even then, I don't buy the date that they put on there because I think it's eggs. Eggs can go way longer than the expiration date. Yeah. Yogurt, that stuff lasts for forever. So I do believe that food can go bad, but it's stuff like toothpaste. There's an expiration date on toothpaste. Really? What?
Yeah, I think some of those things, toothpaste, some medicines and all, I think it's not necessarily it's bad. I just think the effectiveness starts to slow a little bit.
Then take more. You've got plenty of it.
That's true. Brush your teeth twice, Jimmy.
877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Rachel. Todd, are study Bibles something we should rely on regularly or if the Holy Spirit lives in us?
That latter part makes it a really great question.
Mm-hmm.
But I would, first of all, rely. No, you shouldn't rely on it. Use it. Yes. Use it regularly. Feel free to. But if you're using it more as a crutch than as a tool, you probably just want to adjust it. What does that look like? Well, you in other words, you read the verse and before you immediately run to the note on it, think it through. You try to sort it. What was being said there? What was the point of that verse? Then you can go check out the note. Because if you're just relying on it, you're probably, it's great that you're reading the Bible. It's great that you use the study notes, but you might be becoming a little bit undisciplined and perhaps flabby with your interpretive skills. So by all means, use it. I think a study Bible is awesome. I really do. I think it's a blessing. Would you like to hear my impression of a conversation that happened once? I don't know if it was face-to-face, but this is my impression of Alistair Begg regarding the John MacArthur Study Bible. Quote, get those notes out of there, Johnny. That's a quote from Alistair Begg. He doesn't like them, I think. I don't know if he still feels that way. Some people aren't a fan because they just don't believe that they belong in the Bible. I don't think it's blasphemous. I don't think it's incorrect. I think it's a help. And if it helps us to grow and to learn and to love the Lord more, then I say huge thumbs up. But the question about, wait, but don't we have the Holy Spirit? That's an illumination question. How does the Holy Spirit illuminate us? Well, it starts with, he illuminates our minds that we can actually understand Scripture at all, meaning we believe it's true. I think that's, if I had to do an ordo, it would be that it starts with, I believe that it is true. That's the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Does he, however, help you to get it, like understand it more? I believe that he does to varying degrees for different people, but I would stop well short of all you do is pray and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate you and you're going to understand the text. Could he answer that prayer? Absolutely. Does he? Yeah, he does. But what he expects from us is that we do what? We labor hard in the word. We're workmen rightly dividing the word of truth. So we use our skills, we use our brains, and we sweat over a text to understand it, all the while asking him, please help me to understand this rightly. And could you pray, please give me the correct interpretation? Of course, that's not a sinful prayer, but make sure that you don't think that that's normative or the way that he typically helps you to understand the Bible. Do I believe, having said that, because I know that there are some people who would be like, well, that just feels like then we're just not, like the Holy Spirit just isn't involved in our sanctification and in our illumination. He is. And I don't want to go so far that there's a divide between the two. Simultaneously, there is a ditch on the other side that's just, okay, Holy Spirit, give me the interpretation. They never study, they never read, they never think about anything. They just expect some sort of mystical illumination. Find the balance, and be Spirit-led. I think Romans 8 is one of the most misunderstood verses. This is right up there with Philippians 4:13. But that we're led by the Spirit. I think almost everybody immediately thinks that it's some sort of feeling, that it's some sort of pushing, or this supernatural directing. It's not. In that text, what it means is that when you are filling your brain with Bible and living it out, you're being led by the Spirit who inspired the Bible. That's a far cry from, okay, I'm being Spirit-led. Okay, all right. Do we buy Crest or Colgate? I want to be Spirit-led. Lead me, Spirit. Okay, that's just not the way that he works. And in fact, I would say this. Let's just use the toothpaste illustration and beat it to pieces further, shall we? How do you make a decision about Crest or Colgate? All right. So let's say you've been using whatever toothpaste. Is there anybody but Crest and Colgate? AIM used to be a toothpaste. They're still in business. Yeah, you don't know either.
I don't know.
Okay. You've been using AIM, and it hasn't been doing the job. And you're thinking Crest or Colgate. How do you make a decision? You know what? You're going to use your brain. You might go on the internet. You might remember, don't I remember Freeland Hicks talking about Colgate being all watered down? Why don't we give Crest? You know, you think it through. Same thing is true with the Bible. You think it through. You use your knowledge. And that is being led by the Spirit. Now, to make sure that we don't think that we're completely cutting the Spirit out of our life, it is not wrong. In fact, it should be encouraged. Lord, as I study this, would you help me? Help me to use my brain the best way. Help me to make the right decision. I want to make the decision that is most pleasing to you in this scenario. So would you please guide me in that? Nothing wrong with that, as long as you are simultaneously doing the stuff that you're supposed to be doing. And I think if you follow those kind of guidelines, you might bumper back and forth just a little bit, but I think you'll find the right balance of leading a genuine Spirit-led life. And here's a test for you, incidentally. If you hear me use the term live a Spirit-led life and you're like, whoa, what are we getting charismatic here? You're probably needing a little bit of an adjustment. Now, if you're in the other ditch where it's just, oh, Spirit, move me, oh, Spirit, lead me, oh, Spirit, I'm a puppet in your hands, you would probably need an adjustment too. 877-282-2337 or send stuff to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot-button issues, you're gonna get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Boosnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens: critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault and, I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Now, be honest with me for a second. Is your marriage thriving, or is it just surviving? Are you and your spouse building something together, or are you just really trying to get through another week without another major blow-up? And Fortis Institute fellow Pastor Brad Bigney hosts a podcast called Thrive, and that's exactly what it's all about. What it looks like for marriages and families to actually flourish instead of just holding it all together. Brad is a pastor, he's a certified biblical counselor, and as I said, a Fortis Institute fellow, and he brings decades of experience to helping real couples work through the real stuff. And this is the kind of Christ-centered content that we're producing every single day here at Fortis Institute, and it's only made possible because of our gospel partners. And if our ministry has helped you in any type of way, we would love it if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us reach more families with the truth of God's word. You can find out how right now at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Let's be honest. Most Christian TV makes you want to change the channel. It's either so watered down it says nothing, or so weird you're embarrassed someone might walk in while you're watching it. Wretched TV is neither. Hosted by Todd Friel, you get teaching that makes sense, cultural commentary that doesn't tiptoe around the hard stuff, and theology you can actually understand and apply. And hey, here's a bonus. No one's ever going to ask you to put your hands on the screen. Then there's Witness Wednesday. You can see Todd out in the streets talking to actual people about the gospel. This is not scripted at all. You're going to hear the real responses from real people, whether they like what Todd is saying or not. It'll challenge you, and it might make you a little uncomfortable in the best possible way. Wretched TV, it's available right now on Fortis Plus for free. On your smartphone, on your tablet, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Download the app and see what you've been missing.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture.
When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, here we go. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I didn't open up the pictures you sent to me. I'm going to do then take a look at the Hicks store. This is apparently the couponing efforts of Mrs. Hicks. Now, you made it sound like it's just like out of control.
Well, it not yet. This is about the first 3 weeks.
It is a store.
But what you see now, what you see in those pictures, it's like, that's laughable because it's only, that's within the first 3 weeks of her starting.
Dude, okay, so here, I can explain the pictures I'm looking at. You can tell it's like a basement room. It's an unfinished basement room.
Right?
Uh-huh. But you've got racks in there.
Yeah, shelves, yeah.
Like shelves in a grocery store.
Yep.
And I'm looking at, I think this is Dove. Ooh. You don't need all, well, you got a lot of boys in your house. So yeah, you probably do. What is this? Something body wash.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You've got, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 deep of that alone. There's Irish Spring.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's this? Axe.
Yep.
Oh, Axe. That's like the dude body wash.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the one for the boy. Look at the Dove. It's like a grocery store.
Hey, look, she's a clean freak, so it's going to be organized.
Okay. I was in a grocery store in Tennessee. We were up at the house of Nick Freitas and stopped at a grocery store. I wanted to find the manager and just like, dude, props. I have never seen a more meticulously organized grocery store in my life. Everything was like, okay, so like her shelves, those are like orderly and neat.
Mm-hmm.
No, this was different. Mm. It's like somebody was taking a ruler between each, and they, and never crooked. The whole store was that way. And it was like, you got to change it. Stop calling yourself Piggly Wiggly and just call yourself OCD Center, because that is exactly who's running that place. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Matt. Todd, a month ago, my grandfather died, unsaved and devout, an unsaved and devout Mormon. Hmm. He was the kindest person I've ever known, but hell-bound nonetheless. Yeah. It's been haunting me the past couple of weeks that I didn't give him the gospel. With that, should I repent of not giving him the gospel while we had him? It is killing me that I know what's waiting him, though he died expecting to hear well done on the other side. Any honest Christian knows that he'll hear I never knew you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's heavy. Want to make sure we find our balance in this situation. You can't witness to every person on the planet. You can't witness to everybody you walk by on the streets, unless you're Ray Comfort. Otherwise, the rest of us realize that some discretion is involved because, well, we've got responsibilities and there's things that we have to do. And not every opportunity lends itself to witnessing. And sometimes it's just downright inappropriate to evangelize somebody in a particular setting. Rare, but nevertheless. In fact, I had this conversation with Perry Atkinson on the Dove yesterday that, for instance, If there's an outdoor seating area of a restaurant, I've seen open air preachers. They'll go right up to where people are, you know, they're fenced in, they're eating a sandwich. All right, everybody, listen up. It's like, oh, they're eating. You just, I know I feel that tension myself, but I just think that there's some manners where your method can undermine your message so much that you're doing perhaps more harm than good. Having said all of that, there are some people that I do believe that the Lord will hold us accountable for not witnessing to. I don't know the dynamic with your grandpa. I don't know how much you were able to see him, spend time with him. So I don't know all the details. So I'm going to speak in generalities. I do believe that when the opportunity exists and we don't take it, I don't know what else to call it, but sin, when we're commanded to make the most of every opportunity, we're commanded. If it weren't a command, I would be reticent to say that, but it is a command. And when we have what can only be described as a legitimate opportunity that we just biff, that we just don't take advantage of, then I think it is sin. And the good news is, yes, you repent of your sin. and you enjoy the forgiveness that you have in Christ. You don't let it continue to rattle around and to grow any sort of bitterness inside you. You rejoice that even though you sinned, you have a Savior who is willing to forgive you. Even when we are unfaithful to Him, He is faithful to us. And then you use that to make the most of every opportunity that we are supposed to take when we can take it. And then too, I would suggest this is hard too. This is a balancing issue. When it comes to losing a loved one that you know is spending eternity in a lake of sulfur, I don't think we ever want to lose that grief that they're there. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's healthy. I think it can oftentimes be a great motivator for evangelizing, but simultaneously, be careful that it doesn't debilitate you. There's a difference that it just cripples you. It's haunting you. And it is perhaps affecting you in negative ways. I think that would be going too far, but I do believe that we should never lose that sense of, oh, hell is horrible. Hell is so awful. I don't think that we spend enough time talking about how nasty hell is. It's nasty not because God is capricious, but because the things that we take for granted will be gone. Perhaps somebody who has ongoing pain has an understanding of what hell will be like, the just forever pain. How's about forever thirst? Wow, do we underplay that? That the thirst in hell will be so torturous. Dying of thirst is one of the worst ways to die. By the way, Jesus said, in the understatement of the millennium, I thirst. Because he was being deprived of liquids. He was losing blood. And it was hot. He was laboring. He was being abused. I thirst. It was a horrible way to die. And that's eternity in hell. And we need to remember that, because that will be the very thing that gives us the kick that we need to maybe overcome our fear or our nervousness and anxiety about evangelizing and get on it. Because what's the alternative? A few minutes of awkwardness for you or an eternity in hell for them? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Jonathan. Todd, I have a question regarding when it would be wise to start seeking a relationship when pornography has been an ongoing fight in my life. How much victory and consistency should I see in my life before I can start pursuing a godly woman?
It's a great question, and I do think that there's an answer. There might be some variety in the answers, because we don't have a single Bible verse that says this long, this pure. But I do believe wisdom would say, and I'm somebody could disagree with this, I think you need to have total victory for no less than a year. You asked, and I'm telling you that I think total victory, no less than a year. Because if you're looking at it on any, okay, it's like it used to be every day, so now it's only every week. And you want to go date some goyle and bring that into a relationship? Really? You want to get married to somebody? Honey, I'll be down the hall. I'm only looking at it once a week. Are you kidding? It needs to be mortified. Now, why do I pick a year? Fine, pick 2 years. I don't think I'd go less than a year. It needs to demonstrate, no, I actually do have victory over this. I'm not that kind of a man anymore. I'm a more godly man now, and I've demonstrated it. Let's see if we can all figure this out together. Imagine you're a young man, and you've been dealing with this sin, and you find a goyle that you're attracted to. She's godly. So you approach the dad, and you say, sir, I'd like the privilege of dating your daughter with an eye on marriage. And the wise Christian dad says, cool, how often are you looking at porn? What would pass muster? What would pass muster? Well, it's only once a week now. Son, nice to meet you. Why don't you come back when you've got it under control? We'll talk then. It's not hard to imagine that a dad who loves his daughter, wants to protect his daughter, knows the corrosive nature of pornography. What do you think would be acceptable to him? And now let's just do the scenario again. Sir, I'd like to court your daughter. Cool. When was the last time you looked at porn? Sir, I am so glad you brought this up because I realized that this is such a nasty sin. And I did not want to be that kind of a man because I knew I would never be qualified to have the privilege of being married to a godly woman. And so it was a year and 6 months ago, I stopped looking at it and I've not looked at it since. And I am dead set against it. And not only do I have every wise mechanism in place to not look at it, it abhors me. It disgusts me to even think about looking at it. And so I hope that you will understand that it's been a year and 6 months that demonstrates I'm serious, I'm earnest about this, and I believe I'm a man who is qualified to date your daughter. Okay, so what do you think he's going to say? What do you think the number is? It's been 4 weeks since I've looked at porn. I don't think that's going to give you a pass. I think a year is a good working number of total victory. By the way, we have a free resource at Fortis Plus. It's called Play the Man. It will give you the incentive you need to overcome and mortify that sin once and for all. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.